You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
And welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Pittsburgh Pirates edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Tom Singer, who covers these Pirates on a daily basis. And, boy, Tom, you know, we've talked a lot about the great pitching on this team, and it still holds up as outstanding. But what an incredibly excruciating weekend they just endured in St. Louis.
Well, that's true, but, you know, they're looking at the cup as being half full. The pitching was absolutely dominant. So it's St. Louis. So, you know, no runs on the Pirates' behalf. They lost three really tough games. But if anybody is an eternal glasses half full guy, it's Clint Hurdle, the Bucks manager. So they came out of it a little bit frustrated, but feeling darn good about the rotation that they had.
Yeah, I think anytime you're pitching that effectively, no matter the wins or losses, you have to feel good about it. But you're right. Clint Hurdle is that guy. I mean, he keeps an upbeat, positive outlook on just about everything. And you've seen, you know, a handful of different personalities over the years in the manager's seat, and, you know, both visiting teams and, of course, home teams. How much of a difference does that make, the way he handles the ups and downs?
It makes a lot of difference. You know, it's almost an everyday sport. You know, you get occasional days off, but for the most part, you're playing every day, and it's really hard. It's easy to get into a dead zone, so to speak, when things are going bad. In Clint, they've got somebody that, even in the clubhouse, always accentuates the positive, and keeps everybody's mind on the next step, not the last step. And I think that's one reason why they have a pretty good history of coming out of these tailspins. The last couple of years, even though they went to the postseason, they've been doing tough stretches, but they always seem to come out of it.
Well, they've lost five of the last six, and I was looking back, you know, they're 12-13 entering this week, and five of those 13 losses are walk-off losses. Now, there is, you know, there's the psychology of a manager who's able to, you know, keep things positive, as you say, keep looking at the next step as opposed to the last step. I like the way you say that. But there is also that psychology of walk-off losses, right? Those can have some impact.
I think there's a definite psychology to the tough losses, but the nice thing, and, you know, this is the way I perceive it, and I really think it's the way it's done in the field. The nice thing about playing an everyday sport, when you come out the next day, you really do have a fresh outlook. The psychology and the mental buildup of those tough losses is, if you find yourself the same situation in the seventh or the eighth inning, let's say, and say, here we go again. I know we definitely had that feeling in St. Louis because all three games evolved the exact same way. And by the time you got into the eighth inning, certainly after the opener, you know, you're thinking, well, the Pirates just put themselves in position to suffer another heartbreak, which is the way it panned out. But you do start the day with a fresh outlook, you know, with a positive attitude. And the big caveat is not to get into that sixth, seventh inning situation where you feel vulnerable again, but, you know, have a good start and then you kind of build on.
It's an amazing division. You know, in recent years, it's been, you know, there's been so many good teams, and every franchise has had its run in recent years. Cardinals are off to an awfully good start, but because there's good talent up and down in this division, does that temper everything, make everybody maybe a little more comfortable when you go through a tough stretch, knowing that, look, everybody in this division is going to run up against a tough stretch?
I would think so. I mean, the Cardinals, before the Pirates got into St. Louis, played the Philadelphia, which is admittedly one of the weaker teams this season. So they haven't really faced the same tough schedule that the Pirates have had. The Pirates have already played a division-intensive schedule. I know the Cardinals are getting a look at the Cubs this week, and they're going to find out how much better that Chicago team is. Definitely a new force in the division. And like you said, you play each team 19 times in the division. They will take turns beating up on each other, and you have to stay on the leader's heels and take advantage of those situations when they get into that tough stretch. You know, the Cardinals have had the same offensive issues as the Pirates are having now. So unless their pitching remains totally untouchable, which is very unlikely, they'll definitely go through a dry spell because they're not scoring many runs either.
No, I mean, even the Reds have struggled scoring runs, which seems almost impossible in their small ballpark. Brewers have struggled, although they've started to turn things around. It's a very, to me, a very, very interesting division. But let's, for a moment, let's just turn our attention to maybe a little more of the history of the franchise. I want to talk about this franchise four, and fans have the ability to go on, go to pirates.com, and they can vote for their franchise four. There are eight guys on the list, and boy, it's a pretty good list. I noticed they're all hitters. No franchise has had more batting champions than the Pirates, and that's evident in this list. Was your franchise four, was that an easy selection for you to make among these eight guys?
Oh, it would be. It would be. I think one of the more interesting things about the Pirates' share of that campaign is they do have four Hall of Famers who are leading it, but that includes the only Pittsburgh Pirate Hall of Famer living. Bill Mazeroski is on that list along with the leaders, along with Wagner, Clemente, and Stargell. So, I mean, that's pretty darn good company, and also a good recognition for Maz, who, Pirates have a lot of Hall of Famers, as you said, most of them hitters, but Mazeroski is the team's only living Hall of Famer, and he's on that list. Good for him.
When you evaluate the guys on that list, though, I mean, Stargell, Clemente, Kiner, you can throw Wagner and Ty Trainer. I mean, Maz as one of the franchise four, is that a sentimental thing because he's, as you say, the only living Hall of Famer right now for the Pirates? Or
I don't know. I don't know if fans are really aware of that part. I think it's recognition of undoubtedly one of the most iconic moments in this franchise's history. I mean, we keep hearing about it, deservedly so. The Game 7 home run that beat the Yankees in the 1960 World Series. I think obviously he's a great defensive player, but offensively doesn't stack up with the other guys on the list. But I think it's recognition of what he's represented to the Pirates. It's a franchise for what you have brought most of the franchise. And in that regard, I think Mazeroski definitely belongs on that list. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great list, too. But there's so many names, I guess, that have to be left off on lists like this. Is there any name that comes to mind?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Not offhand. I mean, when you're talking about identification with the Pittsburgh franchise, which obviously this is what it's all about, they've had a lot of great players, but maybe not with the longevity that these, eight players have shown. And they played, if not exclusively, all of their careers, a significant portion of their careers were with Pittsburgh. And, one name that you could certainly throw in there with Maz, somebody like Dick Groth won the batting championship, was in the World Series team, Pittsburgh native, at least an area native. But he also went to play for the St. Louis Cardinals after left the Pirates. So his identification with the Pirates maybe isn't as strong as, these eight players.
Yeah, and of course, Bonds on there split the time with the Giants and had his star-crossed moments at the end of his career. Kind of makes him, that puts him on the outside looking in this group. But really,
the one pitcher maybe I'd have on the list once again because of the iconic and significant part is Elroy Face, one of the game's landmark relief pitchers, one of the first outstanding closers. I would put Elroy on there. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put him on instead of one of the eight that are on, but I think, he deserves to be on that list. If he was nine, he'd be on it.
Yeah, no, I think so. I'm sure they looked and thought very hard about trying to fit a pitcher on there somehow, but with the great hitters in this franchise history, I mean, you have to go with those.
Put it this way, if you put together another list in 20 years, Gerrit Cole would be on it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, with his start this year, who knows what list he may be on at the end of this season, Tom. I mean, it is unbelievable how he's throwing the ball.
He's really taking, he's taking the lead on that rotation, which has been outstanding, as we said at the beginning.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Tom, listen, I appreciate the time, and look forward to the Pirates seeing more red this week. They've got the Reds and Cardinals at home. Good stuff, man.
The black wipes out red.
There you go. Tom Singer, MLB.com Extras, the Pittsburgh Pirates edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.